Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment and its programs by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour focuses on outstanding government executives who are changing the way government does business. Our special guest tonight is Dr. Jane Haney, Commissioner of Food and Drugs at the Food and Drug Administration. Welcome, Jane.
Well, it's very nice to be here, Paul.
Well, let's start out by finding out more about the Food and Drug Administration. Most of our listeners will be familiar with FDA as the agency regulates food and drugs and ensuring they're safe, but they don't realize that the FDA also regulates medical devices, cosmetics, and protects the public from unnecessary exposure to radiation. Can you tell us more about the agency?
Well, the FDA does have a tremendous breadth of jurisdiction over products that come into the marketplace. It's not just drugs, but prescription drugs, over-the-counter drugs. It's devices anywhere from a tongue dispenser to MRI equipment. It certainly is foods. About 90% of what you see on your plate every day is in some way regulated by the FDA, and we try to assure the safety of the food that you eat. There are other things, the drugs that you may give your pets, or if you were raising cattle or pigs, the medications that you would give your farm animals are regulated by the FDA. And the whole issue is that we exist really for consumer protection and promotion of the public health.
The mission is so diverse. How many people are at the FDA, and what type skill sets do they have?
Well, we have about 9,000, a little over 9,000 folks that work at the FDA. We are spread all across the country. Our main headquarters is here in Washington, D.C., but we have district offices all across the U.S. because one of the things that we are expected to do out of our district office is do inspections, do surveillance work of that regulated industry that we have oversight of. Also to communicate with the public in those areas of the country about FDA, to be available for them when they want to report something that they think is a problem with a medical product they're using, or if they think that there's a question about the safety of the food that they're eating. So we aren't just an organization that is here in Washington. In terms of the kind of skill set that we need within the agency, most of the people that come into the agency must have a scientific background. Even our inspectors that work in the field have to have a vast number of hours of science, because what underpins most of the safety of products that we regulate is whether there's scientific evidence to show that those products are safe. The medical review officers, the scientific officers that work in the Center on Drugs or the Center on Biologics that look at vaccines or blood safety, they have to be tremendously skilled scientifically. We, of course, have our own, because we are enforcing a statute, the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, we also have a number of lawyers that work in our general counsel's office. And then to keep any organization running, you have to have good clerical and administrative support staff. So we have that kind of mix. It's very heavily weighted, however, to having people that are strong in their own scientific disciplines.
Tell us about your career and the various positions you've held.
Well, my career has been largely in public organizations. I am a medical oncologist by training, a cancer specialist, but I first came to government service in 1976 and stayed through 85 when I was at the National Cancer Institute. I came in at a very entry-level position as a drug monitor for investigational drug studies, and my last 5 years there, however, was spent as the deputy director of that institute. I then went to a publicly funded organization, the University of Kansas, and I was there for several years doing a mix of administration and also seeing patients. I was then recruited back into government service in the early 90s when I was the deputy commissioner for operations at the FDA. I left the agency in 94, going to the University of New Mexico, again another publicly funded organization that my particular position was vice president for health sciences, and we had a school of medicine, college of nursing, pharmacy, all of the allied health disciplines, and a wealth of clinical facilities, hospital and ambulatory care sites. And so that was my little sector of the university. And then I was recruited back to the FDA. So three times in government service, two times in academia, but always at publicly funded organizations.
Do you think your tenure as deputy commissioner has helped you as commissioner?
I think that particular part of my career has helped me enormously. I think for anyone who comes into the commissioner's office who has not had experience either with or in the agency, it takes them a long time to get oriented, to get grounded into not only what the agency does, but the processes it uses to do its work, and to become acquainted with the people that are doing that work. And for me, I consider myself very fortunate to have been essentially the COO of FDA, because in that position, I recruited many of the people who still are in leadership positions at the agency. About 90% of the agency was really under my direction at that point, so I became very familiar with the process the agency uses to review drugs, to review devices, the issues that are there with respect to blood safety, what goes on in the field. I actually went out into the field several times with the inspectors. And so that, in my own background, made coming back both easy and smooth for me to move into the position of commissioner and feel like I had enough experience under my belt from day one to be effective as a commissioner.
Your career is about public service, and I'm wondering what drew you to public service?
Well, when we were first recruited, or when I was first recruited to public service in 1985, it was really to complete some of my training as a medical oncologist when I was at the NCI. And I think what I saw from that early experience was something that attracted me very much and has, you know, really been the force that's had me staying in public organizations. And that is that you really feel like you're serving the greater public. You are held accountable in ways for that service, and what you do every day really makes a difference to people. And I think that service, whether it's in federal service or whether it's in a state-funded institution or whether it's serving on the county commission, can be tremendously rewarding and feeling like you're doing something not only for your own career, but something that really advances the health and well-being of the public around you.
Which of the positions you've held gave you the best opportunities to develop as a leader?
I think looking back on that, probably the experience that I had at the National Cancer Institute. I was fortunate in being able to grow and develop there fairly rapidly. And assume a fairly senior position at that institute. I also had a boss there who let me work by just a couple of rules. And his one rule for me was, do anything you want to, but at least 5 minutes before you get yourself into real trouble, would you tell me? And letting me have that kind of flexibility to take on challenges, but knowing that I had somebody that would either back me up or would at least try to save me from too big of disasters, was just a tremendous growth experience for me.
Well, great. And it's time for a break. We'll be right back with more of the Business of Government Hour.